Infinite Eyes podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Karen Potter, joined today by
Brandon Clark.
Live and in person.
Yeah, it's so good to be here, and you just never know who you're going to run into
when you're in the office.
Podcast, right?
Well, we're in the office in Owosso, Michigan, and we just happened to stumble upon our amazing founder and chairman of the board, Ron DeHaas. Hello, Ron. Welcome.
Well, hello. It's great to be here. Great to see you in person here.
So absolutely.
I'm glad to be here. Yeah.
It's great to have you. We've had you on the podcast once before. But we want to dive a little deeper today and just kind of go back to the roots, because we have it on our website under the About section for how Covenant Eyes came about. But I'd love to hear from your perspective, you know, just the accident founding the company and, you know, where we're at now. Let's just take some time to walk through that today.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, just to bring it right up to present, and you know, I'll get back to it. But one of our main promises that we make to our members, to the Covenant Eyes members, really are based on the fact that we really do care about them. Mm-hmm. Now, you might say that a company can't care about people, but honestly, we really do. We really mm-hmm. care about people.
Yes.
We have we've taken surveys in the past, a fairly recent survey where people were asked, why do they use Covenant Eyes? And we listed a whole bunch of different reasons, and they were allowed to check as many as they wanted to. And the one that got checked the most, and in fact 93% of our members checked the box that says, I want to build my relationship with God.
Wow.
I want to build my relationship with God. And so we care about that. We want to help people build their relationship with God. That is founded, going back to the time even before Covenant Eyes started. Covenant Eyes was founded in the year 2000. So we've been doing this for over two decades now.
Yeah.
In 1992, I lost my family in a car accident. My wife and two children were killed. They were on I-94 in Michigan and waiting for another. They were actually stopped for another accident. A tanker truck came up behind them at highway speed, never slowed down, and their gas tank exploded, and they were all killed instantly. So that was a real tragedy. God restores things, you know. God is God is amazing. He doesn't give us anything more than we can handle. Yeah. I was already a Christian when that happened. And at that time, God drew himself closer to me than he ever had before and honestly ever have since. Wow. There's a sense in which, you know, if we could look at our entire lives and from a God perspective, look at our entire lives. What's the best time in your life? The best time in your life, from God's perspective, is the time that you were closest to Him.
Yes.
And as strange as it sounds, I really do have to say, there's a sense in which that time of my life, when I lost my family, was, in a sense, the best time of my life. Because God drew Himself so close. My pastor felt that you could see his footprints in the carpet. That is really how close. When people came into my house, they had a sense. I have an atheist sister, and she actually is. She believes there is no God, as much as I've talked to her. But she actually had a hard time staying there. Because of the presence of God, and I know it was that. So it was quite a time. But nevertheless, one thing I found at that time was how important family is. I wrote about it, actually, and I freely share my journal. I think it actually is actually on the Covenant Eyes website, if you know where to go.
Oh.
It's not there aren't any links to it, but it is
it's
there.
An Easter egg on our website.
I think it is, yeah.
So our listeners can go find it. Put in the comments when you do.
Yeah. And I talk about missing all three. I talk about missing my 4-year-old son and my 7-year-old daughter and my wife. Mm-hmm. Individually and together, but then I also talk about the fact that I was missing family. Mm-hmm. and that instilled in me a desire from then on, really, to help families in one way or another. So it was actually another 8 years, the year 2000. By then I was remarried. God blessed me with another wonderful family, remarried, and By then I had two teenage sons. Two of her sons were living in my home.
Yeah.
And I had just gotten on the internet, and I realized how easy it was to access pornography.
Yes.
On the internet back then, even
it's
way easier now than it was then.
Yeah.
But I realized the real dangers on the internet at that time. We homeschooled our children, and I realized. Besides that, it isn't what I wanted. I didn't want to just legalistically block my kids mm-hmm. from seeing pornography, and then, you know, statistics actually show that people with filters often use pornography more than people who don't have filters.
Because it's computer. Like, yeah. You can't get to something, there's you want it more, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes, there's this temptation.
Try to get around it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, once they do get around it, nobody knows. Yeah.
Right.
And they continue getting around it that way.
Yeah.
People go to jail for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some very popular examples of that.
Yep.
But I realized that one thing that would help would be if I could somehow have an over-the-shoulder experience, that my kids would know that I'm watching what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to have a brilliant young 17-year-old fellow working for me who was able. I asked him if he could monitor where I go on the internet, and he did. And so 3 days later, he presented me with a list of all the sites that I visited.
Wow!
And I still have that list, by the way.
Great.
It's in the Covenant Eyes corporate archive.
History documents, yeah. Yes.
And so that was the birth of Covenant Eyes. I realized we can have accountability.
Yeah.
And so I started developing Covenant Eyes. So that's the history.
Wow.
Yeah. One of the things I want to hone in on in that story was you had made mention in a video that I saw that you had lost your children previously in the crash,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't want to lose your children again because you saw the dangers. And I wonder, we have a lot of parents who listen to our podcast. I wonder how many of them piece two and two together that when we give them a device that's unprotected or let them just willy-nilly go and be on the computer, there's great dangers out there, and part of that danger is actually losing their souls.
Yeah. Brandon, I want to tell you, this is a growing issue. You know, over time, this has gotten worse and not better.
Yep.
And I can tell you, not from my perspective, but from the perspective of those people who are that age, who are of a young age. Now, we've been in business now for over 20 years. And we have a scholarship program every year. Every summer we run a scholarship program where we give scholarships. And the applicants write an essay about their own use of pornography, their own struggles, their own successes, and so on. And I have to tell you, the tragic stories that they have, tell me what they are saying is they not only did their parents lose them, they lost their parents through that process. Mm-hmm. It was a deep, dark struggle. Mm-hmm. And this is universal. Out of this year, this for this year's scholarship program, we had 850 applicants, over 850 applicants. Wow. And there were maybe three who actually, and in all three cases, their parents put Covenant Eyes on early in their internet use, and so they actually never looked at pornography. Or if they did, it was just, you know, very much in passing. They never had a struggle with pornography. Maybe three out of 850.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All the others. And the common theme was the very first sentence, or maybe the second sentence of the essay would be, I first started viewing pornography when I was 12 years old. 12 was the dominant age. There were a few that were older. There were many that were younger, and as young as six. And it was usually on a phone or at a friend's house. Mm-hmm. That's where it came from. And their parents didn't know. And the struggles that they talked about, you use the phrase that you actually lost your children. I lost my children in that car accident. I wasn't about to lose my children to pornography. And even back in 2000, I realized that's what would happen. And now these scholarship essays are telling me that is what is happening today to almost every young person. And I have to say, out of these 850, maybe 849 came from Christian homes. And so what we're talking about here is young people in Christian homes, essentially, universally, almost 100%.
Yeah.
You know, the people that are listening might as well figure their kids are in this group. And they're losing their kids.
Yeah.
They're losing their kids to pornography.
Where's the breakdown? Because you're saying, like, they're coming from Christian homes, so what's the missing link? Why aren't we picking up on this better as Christians?
Well, education is a big part. Actually, there are two parts. Number one is education, and parents, for some reason, they're not willing to go through the necessary steps of either limiting their young people's time, their screen time,
right,
basically, and also learning how to use the parental controls that are available.
Right.
Most devices have parental controls available.
Yep.
And we, here at Covenant Eyes, we provide resources. They're free, by the way, free resources to help people get the parental controls straight on their devices. So education, parents are not proactive. They're just not proactive.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I think that's a big part of it, and I think parents are busy, and so they delegate that out to, you know, oh well, I'll just put something on the phone, it'll be fine. But that's not enough anymore. We have to do more. It's intentional parenting, right?
Yeah. Yep.
We don't give our kids keys to the car at 10. We train them and coach them over a long period of time about responsibility and navigating, and then you driver's training, right? And then you let them drive the car. The same thing has to be true for these devices.
It better be.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As a mom, you're breaking my heart hearing these stories.
Yeah, that's right. And don't let them take their phones into their bedroom at night.
No.
I didn't do that when I was I didn't have a phone when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so, really, that is, that's where it's happening, is, you know, kids on their own devices.
I think what's important, too, for our listeners is that Covenant Eyes is in this with parents. Like, we provide so many free resources to help equip parents, because like you said, education is really important. So you've made it the mission and the backbone of this company to support families in that way. So I think it's important that our listeners know that we're saying these things, but there's help and there's resources, and it's all free and available on our website, because we want to help you do a really good job with technology.
Yes, definitely. And the and that really does get into the second thing, is accountability. Education and accountability. Once again, parents are not proactive. Every parent listening should have covenant eyes on their kids' computers. And I'll tell you how it works. It's interesting the way covenant eyes works. Because when covenant eyes is on a device, whoever it is, you know, whether it's me or whatever, I know covenant eyes is on my computer. And I see that little icon down at the bottom. And it's also on my phone. Well, covenant eyes is not perfect. You know, we're not. They might find some way around using covenant eyes. They might learn that they can uninstall it, although we do notify in the report whether it's uninstalled and being circumvented. But nevertheless, maybe they could even if they could find a way around it. Eventually, they think, well, I'm going to get caught eventually. And the way it works in the mind, you know, it's kind of a mental thing.
Yeah.
Because you know it's there, and you wonder, if I start looking at pornography, am I going to get caught?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
it's like your conscience, you know, on your way
up. That's right.
It is.
But the beauty of it is, then that actually, you know, if a person has been struggling already with pornography, and you go through this process of, you know, you're afraid that you're going to get caught if you start viewing pornography, but over time there's a change in that thought process, changing from I'm afraid I'm going to get caught to, wow, you know, I'm really thankful that this is here, because I don't even think about it anymore. When I get on my computer, I no longer turn it on with the intention of eventually going to pornography. Now when I turn on my computer, I am just turning on my computer to do what I want to do.
Absolutely.
And I no longer, that isn't part of the thought process. And then even when I do see something that might be tempting, like an ad or whatever, I realize, oh, I can't do that because I have covenant eyes. And it really does work that way.
Absolutely.
I've had covenant eyes on my computer for 23 years now.
Yeah.
And so I know, I don't even think about going to pornography.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's funny because, like, a lot of kids will be like, oh, I don't really want this on my device, and oh, it slows my computer on, all these kind of things. But you know what? My kids, as they're grown now, look back and they're like, thank you for the guardrails. Thank you for caring enough to have hard conversations and to be there with me.
That was a very common theme in these scholarship applications. Mm-hmm. Many times the student would say, yes, I really didn't want it when my parents first did it, but they're really glad.
Exactly.
They're really glad.
Yeah. I want to expand the conversation up just a little bit, because you're also president of the board of NCOSI, National Center on Sexual Exploitation. And I want to expand it out because there is a bigger picture involved, right?
There is.
Pornography really, I don't know, maybe this is incorrect, but I kind of see it as a gateway to larger problems if we let sexual sin go far enough.
Oh, no doubt.
And so your work with NCOSI, can you just talk a little bit about that and the work that they're doing?
Yeah, one of the things that many people don't realize, or if they realize, they really don't think about it very much, is the connection of pornography with sexual exploitation. Sexual exploitation of all kinds. The sex trafficking, the majority of pornography is being produced in a way that really is sex trafficking. And so when a person views pornography, they're participating in that industry. The stories that come out, I've known some people through my work at NCOSI that they have come out of the prostitution industry, both from the director side and the prostitute side, and their lives are devastated. The most famous one, I won't mention her name, but the most famous one actually committed suicide not long after she gave a talk at a conference. So, it was tragic. And so that connection with, and of course, once you get into that realm of illegal activity, you're talking drugs and everything else as well. So it's a dark area.
When we were talking about intentional parenting, a lot of the people in the industry have some form of trauma from their childhood, especially if their parents weren't intentional or engaged. You know, a lot of the women maybe had bad relationships with their father, or father wasn't even around, right? Sure. So we don't often think about all the things like behind the scenes and underneath that are bringing people sometimes to this point where they're really just searching for love, right? They're searching for acceptance. They're searching for any sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. And they're not really finding it here, but this is where, you know, people are saying, here, come here. Yeah. And it's faulty. It's fake, but
it is.
It's something.
It's fake. It's fake. Reminds me of something that that I learned from these scholarship applications. Again, you know, this is fresh on my mind because we just finished reading all those 850 scholarship applications. And one of the things that that came out of that is one of the questions that we ask is, what are some successes that you've had? Almost invariably, the very first success that is mentioned, and it comes under the topic of success, is that they told their parents mm-hmm. that they're struggling.
That's great.
Wow.
That's a success.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, you know, it caught me off guard a little bit when I realized, oh, this is, they're counting this as their main first success is actually telling somebody. And so confession, of course, is an important part of the process of giving up something that you're struggling with. But that success then led the parents to actually start using Covenant Eyes. And another, there were a couple other things that I learned. One is, and this was another interesting thing that I hadn't noticed in years past, is the students who are applying for the scholarships, I think all of them, when they first started viewing pornography when they were 6 to 12 years old, when they first started viewing pornography, they were ashamed. Mm-hmm. They realized, without even understanding, you know, any what they were looking at or whatever yeah. was going on, mm-hmm. there was an a priori knowledge that viewing pornography is wrong, and I found that very interesting. That mm-hmm. there, you know, some people actually try to defend pornography right. use that it's a good thing. Some people actually say it's a good thing. It's not a good thing, and. Evidence for that is that we have ingrained in us, by God, I believe, that there is something wrong with it.
Right.
It, we have this a priori knowledge. And so they were ashamed. And the sad part is another word that many of these applicants used was they said they started viewing it and they said, I became addicted to it. Mm-hmm. And some probably close to half of the applicants actually used that word, I was addicted to pornography.
You know, I'm going to pivot just a little bit along the lines, though, is you have a passion for the church. And I want to talk a little bit about the church because that's something that I'm also passionate about. You know, our team here, mm-hmm. You know, Sam Black, a good friend, is, you know, just made a book about helping the church.
The healing church.
The healing church, yes. But what role does the church play in this problem?
It's a
big one.
Frustrating. Well, let me back up to a positive note. You know, on a positive note, I do believe that ultimately it is necessary to have faith. And my faith in Jesus Christ was part of the role that played a role in my life back when I lost my family.
Yeah.
And I believe it also needs to play a role in the life of every person who is struggling with pornography.
Amen.
Really every person. But it really is the ultimate solution.
Yes. Yeah.
It really is. Covenant Eyes is not the ultimate solution. Covenant Eyes is a tool that will help. It's an accountability tool. There's nothing else like it, really.
No.
Right.
And that being said, it's almost impossible to overcome a struggle like pornography without an ally.
Mm-hmm.
It's known to happen. God can do anything.
Sure.
God can do it, but typically accountability is all over in the Bible.
Yes, so, it is.
It's present. But on the positive note, that is the answer. Mm-hmm. But on the negative note, this Barna study that was done in 2016, published in 2016, The Porn Phenomenon, did a survey of churches. 93% of churches that were surveyed have never, ever had any type of program at all regarding pornography.
Unbelievable.
And I don't think it's changed much. I really haven't heard that it's changed much since this survey was done. It just isn't talked about in churches.
No.
And you know, there are a number of reasons for that, but this is we're dealing, you know, it's the church's job to overcome issues that are such a dark issue, and this is like the darkest of all issues. This is a principality of darkness.
Mm.
This is like the perfect sin for Satan to
yes.
have, because it's freely available right here.
Yep.
It's free. It's easily accessible, universally accessible around the world. It's right here in the air, on the internet. And what it does is it tears apart families. Mm. Families literally lose their children.
Yeah.
Yep. And marriages fall apart.
Marriages. And so if that's happening,
yes.
what is the devastation overall to the church?
Yeah.
It impedes my ministry to church. It impedes my relationship with God, with my wife, with my family, with my work at my job. Every relationship is torn apart by this issue.
Yes.
And the church is doing nothing about it. So that's the Healing Church, by the way.
Yes.
It is a step in the right direction.
It is. What would you say to pastors and ministry leaders, though? I mean, we know they're not doing enough yet, and we realize they're busy. We know they're dealing with a lot. I mean, we're not trying to condemn. We understand the pressures of the pulpit. But this problem, it has its spider webs into everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is breaking marriages and marriages, generational curses are being, you know, passed down because these families are broken and the children are, you know, what can we tell pastors and leaders and inspire them to get involved and take action? Is it read the Healing Church as step one, and then step two, work with Covenant Eyes to get something in place?
Call Sam Black. really, call us, call you, and we'll get in touch. We have enough people on staff that, you know, my experience is that even from a podcast like this, we might get maybe a dozen people who call us. I hope there's more than that, but people are just not proactive, and they need to get proactive.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get proactive, and we have such great resources available.
We do.
And we'll do whatever we have to. We are here to serve.
Mm-hmm.
We really do care about people, and we care about the churches. And it is devastating to the church universal. It's just devastating.
It is.
We need to do something about that.
Absolutely. Right. And I mean, it is true to our listeners out there. Covenant Eyes is unlike any organization out there that I have seen. Literally, we have programs. We have Strive 21 for men. We've got Restored Vows for couples. We've got the Healing Church for your leadership teams. I mean, we have a whole assortment of resources to equip the church. They're there for the taking. All you have to do is reach out and take them. Or ask for help. We have a whole team of people here to serve.
And that's right.
We mean it. I mean, we mean it. This is real.
We really do mean
yes,
it. Please.
Yes. Oh, yes. My gosh. Well, Ron, let's talk a little bit. Let's pivot again and talk a little bit about, you brought something up in a conversation yesterday about some dialogue you were having about, you know, is it a badge of honor to have Covenant Eyes?
Yeah.
Let's talk about
interesting,
that.
Interesting. Because over the years, you know, we have Covenant Eyes, and when we first started, the main way we got the word out about Covenant Eyes was at conferences.
Yes.
Our very first affiliate actually was Promise Keepers.
Yeah.
And we went to the Promise Keepers conferences, and we would have a booth, and it was interesting because along with the other booths, we'd see a guy coming along. This is Promise Keepers, so it was all.
We'd see a guy coming along.
Yes. And then he'd see our booth, and he'd look, and then he'd kind of cross over and go around our booth. And you know, that's just how it was.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
sadly, it's still like that sometimes.
Sometimes it is still like that, yes. But one of the things that I have found and very thankful for, maybe not thankful, because it's an indication that of the growing problem, is especially in the younger generation. You will hear the statistic that 70% of men struggle with pornography.
Mm-hmm.
That is a pretty good number. But that's men of all ages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you divide it by age, you'll find that I'm 75 years old. Men my age, it's a much lower percentage mm-hmm. than 70%.
Yes.
And the younger you get, the higher the percentage. So that actually, by the time, if you talk to 16-year-olds, it's really near 100%.
Mm. Right.
Of 98%
of high school, 18-year-olds, yeah. high school graduates have seen pornography.
Of course.
Yeah, it's almost 100%.
Yep. That's exactly right. And so, you know, the younger people in particular recognize that, and they're actually willing to admit.
Yes, they are.
Everybody struggles with it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody struggles with it.
Yeah.
And so I know I'm not alone, and I don't even have to hide it.
No.
And so what I have found is more and more young people are more willing to talk about
yes.
their own struggle.
They are.
Yeah. And that is true even among pastors. Now, it used to be if you were a pastor struggling with pornography, you'd get fired.
Yep.
And it's not that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now pastors are even using their experience of struggle in their own congregations and saying we've got to overcome this.
Mm-hmm.
It's those churches that are in the 7% of churches that have done something.
That's right. Yeah.
And so really what I found is when it used to be using Covenant Eyes, there was a little bit of shame in using mm-hmm. Covenant Eyes. Now it's more, I don't know that you'd call it a badge of honor, but maybe it is.
Yeah.
I think for many people, it actually is a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Especially, and this also has changed, in the early years, if a man wanted to put Covenant Eyes on his computer, the spouse, the wife would wonder why. Why are you putting mm-hmm. Covenant Eyes
yeah.
on your computer?
Yeah.
Where now, among young men, I'm proud to have Covenant Eyes because I'm protecting you.
That's right.
I'm protecting
our
relationship.
I value my marriage. Yes.
I value my marriage.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't want to lose that.
Yeah.
And by golly, we're going to have it on our kids' computers,
yeah.
too.
You know,
so
it's funny.
I was just going to say, do you think that's part of the solution to the problem is taking away that stigma?
Mm.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That yes. If we can take away that stigma, then the churches would start talking about
yes.
it. Yeah, it would be a common thing. By the way, there's it's so obvious that young people in particular are struggling with it. You probably have seen this statistics on erectile dysfunction.
Yes. Mm.
That back in 1942, the Kinsey Report indicated that less than 1% of men 18 to 32 struggled with pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Or struggled with erectile dysfunction, rather. By the year 2012, there were three major studies, and one of them was by the U.S. Navy, actually, three major studies that indicated that among young men, 18 to 32, more than, all three studies,
yeah.
more than 30%
That's
of young men
increase.
Struggle with erectile dysfunction. And in April of 2016, Time Magazine did a front cover article on it. Erectile dysfunction is a result of pornography,
yeah.
pornography use.
Wow. There's a direct correlation of this.
Direct correlation.
Yeah, it's high-speed internet.
And they
and
interviewed three of the leading people who are proponents about this, mm-hmm. Alexander Rose, Noah Church, and Gabe Deem.
Mm-hmm.
And all three said, I don't care what you can tell me that my grandmother didn't die of cancer because of cigarettes, but I know they died of cancer because mm-hmm. of cigarettes. And right. in the same way, I know my erectile dysfunction is a direct result of pornography. So it's interesting, you listen to the ads mm-hmm. Of Cialis and Viagra now, and when they first came out, it was the advertising campaign was directed toward old men.
Right. Yep.
And now it's young men yes. on the ads yep. with the target market being young men. Mm-hmm. And that is because of pornography. There hasn't been a major physical change or the water hasn't been poisoned or anything like that. Yeah. It's pornography.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, Brandon and I, we just got back from a conference, and I want to give a little bit of hope to those listening to today's podcast, because we're talking about, is it a badge of honor? Is it, you know, is it a stigma? We ran into so many people who proudly mm-hmm. put Covenant Eyes on their devices yeah. to protect their marriage, to show others in their church that they mean business when it comes to, you know, stopping their pornography addiction or finding freedom from this. I was taken yeah. back by the number of people uh-huh. that we spoke to that were just happy and proud to be Covenant Eyes users. So yeah. that just speaks, I think, to the legacy that you have built for us here at Covenant Eyes. I mean, it's amazing.
Young well, people too. Yeah.
Young
we,
people.
We talk to a
young
lot
people.
Of Gen Z,
yes.
you know, who are just on fire for their faith, who are like, I love Covenant Eyes.
Yes.
I love what you guys do. You know, a couple of them were single. One of the young gentlemen was married. Like, they're just
so
fired up about
it. We talked to a wife who was just so grateful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. So, you know, we need to hear more of those stories. And I want to make sure that our listeners know that, you know, it really, honestly, is the best thing you can do for yourself and for your family is to take that next step and to use Covenant Eyes. I mean, my husband and I, we use it in our mm-hmm. marriage, yeah. and, you know, we're kind of old fogies, so it's okay. You know, I mean, we don't really use the internet like the younger generation, but you know what?
No,
we've made a commitment
right.
to one another.
Yep, that's important.
I think it is important.
You just got to have those guardrails, you know?
Do.
You just never know when, because you might get far enough along in your journey to where you're not, you know, getting those, like, rampant temptations.
Mm-hmm.
But Satan isn't just going to back away and say, oh, I've lost this one. I better go
oh,
find
no,
someone
else.
Oh,
no, he's going to go in for the kill.
Right?
Yes.
He's waiting for
that's
that
right.
moment when you're weak, when it's
yes.
He's crouching at the door, waiting
yes.
for the
right?
kill.
Mm-hmm. So just even having those guardrails, even if you've been free for years and years and years, like
yes.
it's just so important on the Christian journey to
yeah.
to not let ourselves fall back there.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're absolutely right. And you use the word legacy, and maybe just to bring this full circle, you know, I really do... the settlement that I got from the trucking company, honestly, was the money that created Covenant Eyes
yeah.
back in the beginning. And so, you know, I consider if Covenant Eyes could save one marriage, or if we could save one life,
yeah.
it would be all worth it. But we've helped hundreds of thousands
yes.
of people. And that is, I look at that as the legacy of my family.
Absolutely.
So, you know, every person who has their relationship with God restored, or their relationship with their spouse,
yeah.
Who can be drawn out of this evil of pornography, that's the legacy of my family who died in that accident.
Well, I can say that I'm here today working for Covenant Eyes because of Covenant Eyes' impact on my marriage. So
absolutely.
I'm very thankful for you starting
yeah.
that so many
yeah.
years ago. And I really think that's a great place to wrap up today, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yes, yes. I think we should. And so all of our listeners out there, I hope you really enjoyed this episode. It was such an honor to have you join us.
It's not an honor.
It really is.
It's just us. We're a family here.
We are. But still, we don't get to see each other anymore because we all work remote. So
yeah.
it is
yeah.
kind of an honor to be able to be in person,
it
and
is.
I treasure
really
those
is.
Moments.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
all of our listeners out there, be sure to share this podcast far and wide. And again, reach out to Covenant Eyes. We are here to help you and support
yes.
you in a million different ways. And we'll make sure we put Sam Black's personal cell phone
yeah.
number in the show notes.
Just wait until he finds out about that.
Exactly, exactly. But no, honestly, thank you for tuning in for another amazing episode of the Covenant Eyes podcast. God bless all of you. We'll see you next time. Thank you.